Welcome to the Business with Beers podcast. This is the place where we help entrepreneurs expand their business, build their wealth, and generate passive income. I'm your host, Brian Beers, an entrepreneur who's on a mission to inspire growth from everyone around me. Remember that you need to take the actions others won't, and you can live the life that others don't. Please be sure to check out my weekly newsletter that now drops every Thursday. It includes one quote, one tweet, one podcast recommendation, plus some business and investing insight from me. It's short and it's sweet. My goal is to provide you with just a couple gold nuggets to help inspire your growth. Go to brianbeers.com to subscribe. Hello, everyone. I'm excited today to bring you Jimmy Maxwell. Jimmy's a first-time franchisee with Voda Cleaning and Restoration, and he just quit his job to go all in on this business. And so I'm excited to hear his story today, and I think it's going to be a good one. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Brian.
Awesome. Cool. So to start, let's give us some context. So kind of where do you live, and then what'd you do before getting into the franchise?
Sure. Yeah. So I live in Littleton, Colorado. It's a few miles south of Denver, South Denver metro area. And I spent really about 17 years in spine implant industry. Had a soft landing for the last 3 years in ERP software sales. That was going well. But getting to the point in my life where there were just too many issues with the corporate job. I can go into all the issues, but I suspect that a lot of your listeners probably feel some of that same pain.
And what are some of the high level stuff, like politics, travel, like
politics? When I felt like my back was up against the wall and I was like, okay, I'm going to go all in and do something on my own, was when I first quarter of 2023, they put our comp plan in front of us, in January. And they put in a really nice incentive for it, dollars sold over quota. It was going to be a triple bubble or 3x quota. And so I put my head down and had a tremendous quarter. And come payday, the second pay period in April, my paycheck was about 55% light of what it was expected to be. And then from that point, it started becoming a negotiation about how much of my commission I was actually going to get paid. And so as a salesperson, where you want to live is really on commission. I don't care about my salary.
Yeah.
Your commission is how you feed your family. And I do have a family, and that's why I do everything that I do. And so when they start messing with your pay, and I talked to some other folks and just said that's how a lot of these companies treat people, and it's whether it's right or wrong, you don't have a winnable case, so deal with it. Or now I can only complain to myself for not paying myself commissions as a business owner.
That's right. Yeah, it's all on you. So they screw you over probably was a significant amount of money.
It was.
And then what goes that? Were you already thinking about it then? And like, when does it get to the point that you say, hey, I got to go out? And I guess why franchising versus any other thing you could do in your life?
Sure. No, I think when I had tossed around business ownership many times in the past, actually this kind of feed into both of your questions. The reality was I looked at businesses I could purchase, and it was just too daunting for me to be able to wrap my mind around it. I know myself pretty well. I'm strong at sales. I've never been a business owner. So I knew if somebody gave me a business plan and said, here it is, go out and execute it, I could do it.
Yep.
But I had no idea how to build a company. And I was honest enough with myself to say, okay, is it worth paying royalties and having all this for the right type of system and leadership team that's going to help me implement this? And the answer for me was yes. And so that made that decision a lot easier, because every time I was looking at other companies to purchase that perhaps weren't franchises, I would just run into a brick wall of I didn't know what I didn't know. And so that was really a pretty simple decision for me.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of people who buy franchises, it's the same way. I mean, I'm the same thing. Like, show me the playbook of how to make money, and I can just go and do that. Like, I don't have to worry about all the stuff. I don't have to like create a website or worry about marketing or funnels or like all this crap that
is constantly changing too, versus like, you know, here's what you got to go and do. And I think that's awesome. Plus, like, you know, when you're part of a franchise, you're part of this community. And then there's other people around the country. So like, you may figure something out that works in Denver that now the playbook can get, you know, it's amended in a sense that the guys in Austin, the guys in Tennessee, right, now that they can feed on that. And same thing, like, and so now it's like you got a bunch of guys all looking to, like, you know, lift the tide, which then lifts all the boats if the people go and, you know, actually follow it, which is a whole other thing. But, you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. They provide a really strong framework, and it still allows you to put your own flair on it, figure out what, you know, kind of within that framework, what you need to do to grow the business in your locality. But to your point,
having the guide.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you have this idea, franchising's it. Kind of walk through the path. Did you work with a consultant, or did you find, you know, what were, like, were you looking for restoration specifically? Or kind of walk us through kind of that, like, the selection in your mind of how you kind of got to this point.
Sure. Yeah. No, I looked at about 8 different franchises. Then I would say really got in depth with 3 of them to get, you know, into the final processes. I had a checklist of things that were sort of must haves for me.
What were those?
Well, I really didn't want, I was looking at, food and beverage, and I really didn't want to have to be open on Sundays. It's personal for me, but that's the way it was. And so I just said, okay, that eliminated, 60, 70, 80% of what I was looking at, and it helped me focus in. And then I really got more honed in to home services, because one of the things I was looking at, I think similar to you at the Midas stores, was some of the oil change, 10-minute oil change. I won't mention specific brands.
Yeah.
But the going through kind of a questionable real estate market, there was a lot of question marks as to how long was it going to take to get this one off the ground to open the first location. And if I'm trying to quit my job and go all in on something, I needed something that had the potential to replace my income within the first 12 to 18 months. Maybe that's aggressive, but that was really where I honed in on home services. And then there were 2 left at that point. And Voda, there were a few reasons why I chose Voda. And I would say the biggest reason was I really believed in the leadership team there. And them being very invested in my success. And that's probably the biggest factor.
Yep. Yeah, those are all great. And, you know, it's one thing I really like to talk to people about, especially when they're looking to buy a franchise and if they're or getting into a business. And it's like sometimes people are say, like, I'm open to anything, right? And they're like, they think that's like a good thing, but it's really a bad thing. Because, like, it's like you said, you want to work with a real estate agent. You said, hey, I want to buy a new house and I'm open to live anywhere. Any house, any condition, any place, any neighborhood, right? Any size, any price.
Any price, yeah.
You know, go show me some stuff. And they'd be like, what the hell? Like, nobody would even do that, right? You would say, I want like 3 beds, 2 baths, this amount of price point, this neighborhood, you know, this school district, you know, walkable streets, right?
Yeah.
And then that makes it very easy to say, hey, and then when you see a house, you don't even have to look at any other houses because that one met everything that you were looking for, right?
Yeah.
Even when I bought my house 5 years ago, like, we knew exactly what we wanted. It was the only house we actually like stepped in foot, and we made an offer the next day because it was so clear to us, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the business. And I think like a big thing is to come up with the checklist, and like your checklist is different than my checklist. And
absolutely,
you know, the other person listening to this, and it's like figuring out what is it for you. And yeah, no Sundays is a good one. I didn't even actually think about that, but that's on mine too. Mine was like, I didn't want anything that was 24/7. Like I didn't want calls in, you know, at the middle of the night. You know, I didn't want, I don't know, a very complicated business. Like, auto repair is very complicated. There's a lot of moving parts. Cars can fall off lifts. They can run into each other. Like, skilled salespeople, skilled technicians, like technology, like there's a lot of moving parts. And so it's like, And if you got to be all in to really make that work. And, you know, we have a very, very good team that is all in on it. But, you know, other people want something that's like a lot simpler, right? There's a lot less moving parts. I think the other big one is B2B or B2C, you know, and like better. And you're probably pretty good with the B2B side of it, I would guess. because you're in this enterprise level sales. So for you to go and build relationships with other people in the business community, insurance community, you're probably super comfortable with that. Me, I'm the opposite. Like I'm the consumer, mass market, mailers, digital marketing, all those funnels and stuff. Like I love that stuff. And I'm like really, I'm like not good at the B2B stuff because I'm so focused on the big, and that's all about the small things, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think that's all that's all great. What about like, you know, Voda is a brand new franchise, right? From a as a franchisor, the concepts, you know, the founder's been around 10 years, you know, Dan and Steve and the guys there have turned it in, you know, recently. Was that, what number franchisee are you? Do you know?
I think I'm right around, you know, the five that I bought were like 22 through 27 or something around there.
In units, but as people, like you're probably what, number seven, maybe?
So that's high single digits. Yeah.
Yep, high single digits in a new brand, right? So, you know, some people look at that and it's like there's a ton of risk. Like there's no track record, quote unquote. You know, they'd rather be in like Pure or Clean or like, I don't know, Service Master or I don't know, whatever, Paul Davis, all the ones if they want a restoration. So like for you, did you want that? Like, so some people specifically seek it out to say, I actually want a new company. I want somewhere where I can be important. And yeah, I understand there's risk, but there's also more upside. So like, were you looking for that? Or like, how did that factor into your brain that you would be the seventh person to like, you know, believe these guys?
No, absolutely. So it didn't come without a lot of due diligence. I was able to do a lot of research on other brands and looking at their, you know, if the numbers work for them, that could apply to Voda's model as well. Even though the model and what they're doing with the business is different, I was, you know, without a robust history to go on, you can study the market through other franchises as well. And so, as far as the financials go, that made a lot of sense to me. The newness of the branding and what was, you know, it really, for me, it's kind of a gut feeling on the branding and what they're trying to do. And whether or not that should weigh in, you know, everyone can have that, you know, some people are purely objective and they want everything on a spreadsheet. Other people might be 50-50. And I think somewhere in between's the right answer. But I loved what they'd done with their branding and marketing. And I was blown away by the vision from the marketing side, which, and then really, you know, territory availability was a factor as well. A lot of the historic franchises just have very limited availability. And again, for me to be able to replace my income, I needed enough territory to where I could grow this into something that sizable business and not just a few zip codes. Right. So that played a factor, but then really I think the passion from the passion and the expertise of the people and you know, Dan, Zach, Christian, Steve, all of them with their experience, I believed in them. And again, that at some point it comes down to your gut and you can spreadsheet the heck out of these business decisions. But at the end of the day, it has to come from your gut.
Yeah. All franchises are in the people business, right? And you're in the people business that you hire and the relationships you build and the franchisor and the relationship and the energy and the ideas and like, you know, because we all do the same service. Like you're going to rip out the same wet drywall as anybody else. And it's like how you get to that point and the customer experience inside with your technicians who care about, you know, being a good house guest and all that. Like, and that's all driven through the top down and the culture it's created.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, Dan and the guys, like I'm friends with Dan. I've had him on my podcast a couple times. And like, you know, for those who don't know, like kind of the backstory is, you know, he had a lead generation company. So he had his whole business was about online marketing, call center, like it was all leads. It was in the franchise space. And he sold that to private equity for, you know, millions of dollars. And then he took a significant amount of the money that he made from that to invest into Voda, to buy this, to take this company that was a independent business who had a really good like core like service and then turn it into a franchise, which means, you know, marketing, training, sales, like coaching, right? Anyway, so he's all in. He's super passionate. I know he is. I know he drives around, flies around the whole entire country meeting franchisees and meeting candidates and will do anything to make it successful. So it's
he really is. And I believed them when you know, it's easy to believe them because they are so passionate about it. They do have the background and the know-how. And I didn't feel like they just kind of backed their way into this. It was clear to me that they came into this specific market with this first franchise that strategically they're building intentionally.
Yep. Yeah. And other franchises we see, like it's kind of the opposite, where maybe they have a business and they think the business is good, so they're going to franchise it. But like to be a successful franchise, it's a whole other skill set than it is to be a good business, because it's training, coaching, marketing, all the stuff that's like interchangeable, whatever the thing is, right? Whether it's painting or restoration or senior care, it doesn't matter. And if they don't have that component, the franchisees aren't going to be successful. So
yeah.
Awesome. So then like through the story, you find them, you buy in, you know, you've got this job that, you know, these people screwing you over. And then like, how did you kind of decide on, hey, I'm going to go into this thing all in, like I'm pushing my chips in terms of your time and your focus versus, hey, I'm going to try to do this like on a part-time basis?
Yeah, it's funny. I originally was kind of the intent that I was going to, you know, die a slow death with my old company and you know, keep one foot in here and one in the other.
Quiet, and, I think they call it.
Yeah, exactly. Long quit. I will say, it, you know, as frustrated as I was with my old company, I had a fantastic boss and I had a ton of respect for him. He always treated me great. And so when it came to the point where I was spending 98% of my time and energy on Voda and the business I was opening, and I was not, you know, not getting back to customers, I was really neglecting the business. And I had built some solid relationships over the last few years in my old company. And at the point where I was, you know, having this moral compass moment of I'm really neglecting this business, and is whether they treated me right or wrong, that, you know, everyone has their opinions on how their companies treat them. It doesn't make it right for me to neglect the business and what my role is for that company. So I knew that I couldn't do both very long. Really, I got my end of year bonus, and I said I can't keep doing this because it's not the right thing to do. Yep. So
you went all in. And then when did you launch Voda?
It was 1 month ago yesterday, January 29th.
Okay, and by that point, I guess you had already given your notice, and by January 15th or whatever, you were.
There was about a 2 week crossover.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So officially out of the old company 2 weeks
and then
ago. All in.
Okay. And then, so talk about, what does your team look like so the people don't know, we talked about Voda, but like real quick, what is the service that you guys provide? And now we're going to kind of get more into like the business itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So, cleaning and restoration, high level, residential and commercial. So, by cleaning, it's floor cleaning, a lot of carpet cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, and obviously there's some other lines that we have, you know, wood floor polishing and resurfacing, and then HVAC air duct cleaning as well. And so that's really under the cleaning umbrella. On the restoration side, it's, you know, mold, fire, water remediation, and really all of the business I've had so far has been on the residential side, and really trying to obviously move upstream in all of those areas and get into high-end residential commercial.
Yep. Okay, great. And so then what does your team look like today?
Yeah. So I have been very fortunate. I found a wonderful general manager, and he has 25 years of experience. And, you know, I think, that was the best, whether it was my decision, he kind of fell into my lap, but he's been a true blessing for me getting this company off the ground.
In the restoration space.
There, he has experience cleaning as well, floor cleaning as well. Not as much his passion, but in terms of, you know, I think there's a lot of training and experience that's valuable in the cleaning side, but it's absolutely a necessity if you're going to get into restoration work.
Yep. Okay. And then how many technicians?
I have one, you know, she's an operations supervisor, and we've got an open rec for a technician under her. So right now I've got two employees that are both full-time, And we're aggressively trying to find a technician to be cleaning specific, and then a technician to be a restoration specific to work under her.
Yep. Okay. And then what does, I guess, so you're a month in. I mean, talked about how have sales been in the first month here?
Yeah, it's been inconsistent in terms of on the cleaning side. There's a lot of cleaning companies out there, and it's a bit of a race to the bottom in terms of, you know, there's a lot of people looking for the lowest price. And, you know, when you're an early business, you're going to take, we're trying to grow our brand name. And so we're taking, you know, most of the jobs we can get our hands on and happy to do it. Not necessarily profitable on that side, but we're getting really strong reviews on all of our service. And that's, I think, critically important.
Oh, yeah.
That's got value in and of our gross profit margin. The restoration business has been really strong. I think we've done 5 jobs. One, we're in the middle of one really large job, and so without putting numbers to everything, we're off to a much better start on the restoration side than I was anticipating.
Can you give a ballpark on the restoration numbers?
Yeah. So, smallest jobs have been 3,000, 7,000. Don't know how big the medium sized one, and probably 12 to 15. And then there's one that may well go into the 6 figures. We're kind of still in the middle of that one.
Yes. That's the amazing part of the, I guess, the restoration business, right? Like accidents happen every single day, pipes break, things happen. Like someone's insurance company's paying for all this stuff. Right.
And
that, you know, in your first month of business, you can get $100,000 plus job, like at least sold. Obviously you got to get it done and paid. And like, there's obviously it's a longer timeline than the same day, but, that's strong. How did those, like, what's the difference on how you get those leads, restoration leads, versus how you get carpet cleaning leads?
The restoration leads so far have really been grassroots. Now I will say that the largest job actually came through a lead center through Thumbtack, and we're not anticipating it being as big of a job as it was. It looked like there was some water in a room that had been coming in, and we get in there and the entire house is soaking wet. And so it really turned into something a lot bigger than we thought. And then a lot of grassroots, just being very, very not aggressive, but just letting all of my friends, I have a strong network of really good people that live here. And some of them are in buildings, some of them are in insurance. And actually 2 of the jobs have actually come from personal friends that have had a water event in their basement and needed help. So really just kind of aggressively putting yourself out there. And it's amazing. There's something about somebody going all in and opening their own business. People really want to help you. And, you know, they may know somebody else that's got a 20-year-old restoration business, and they're probably thinking to themselves, well, we can call this guy that's been doing it for 20 years, or, you know, Jimmy seems like a great guy. He's out there trying to hustle and build this business up. Let's give it to him. And I think there's a lot of that. If you're willing to just put yourself out there and let everyone know that you're open for business and that you're hungry to help, and the business will come back to you when people need something.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think that's why it's good to also tell people about it, right? Be open and, you know, you don't have to be annoying about it, but like, listen, you celebrate your wins. I don't know what you do, but if I was you, I'd be on like Facebook and like, hey, we just got this job. We just helped this customer. Oh, look at this funny thing, you know, like being top of mind. I mean, that's the whole point of, you know, social media stuff. And is you stay top of mind, someone needs something, and then, you know, they remember the thing they saw. So, is that like important? Like, are you like working that angle too, in terms of just within your own networks?
We are. I'm really kind of the angle I'm working is to really be a solid part of my community. I am falling behind on posting on social media. I had a conversation yesterday with a local firm that does just social media, where I can give them our content and they can actually build a good, you know, storyboard for us and post for us regularly. That's not my specialty. And so that's where I've, I've been a little bit, you know, where is my time best spent? Well, if it's not doing administrative operation stuff, I need to be out meeting people.
Yep.
That's where I want to spend my time. So I'm going to hire out somebody to actually take our job and post for us locally.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. What does the cash flow look like on the restoration side? Because right, if a lot of it's insurance paid, doesn't take some time to get paid. Like, how do you just kind of manage that, or how do you plan to kind of manage through that?
Yeah. So we've had a couple of cash pay jobs so far. So that those have been nice. The insurance, the cash flow with the insurance jobs, it's too early to tell. I don't know when we have not received a check from an insurance company yet. And two of the jobs, the larger ones we worked on, were both insurance jobs. We're 30 days in. I'll send you an email in a month and let you know where we're at.
Yeah.
But it's a little nerve-wracking, but I also came into this knowing full well what the cash flow situation could be and prepared for it. And I have enough cash to where I'm in a good place now.
Yep.
And then a line of credit to where if I need to push, you know, 6 months, then I should still be okay. It wouldn't be ideal. But
yeah. I had a friend who owned a restoration franchise. It was doing, I don't know, 2.5-3 million a year. And yeah, he kind of had these ebbs and flows where it was like, you know, it would be this big accident, right? Or a flood or whatever. And he'd like all the guys double time pay. It was like crazy. And so then he, you know, had to make payroll every single week, but then it took, you know, it took time to get the checks, but then the checks came in, he got 200,000, 400,000, like, but in those lulls, like, you know, you got to be able to like going into this thing prepared that you can make a lot of money, but the cash flow sometimes can be irregular. I also interviewed another guy a while ago. I could try to find the episode who was one of the Serve Pro. He was a Serve Pro franchisee. He was the quickest person like in Serve Pro to get paid. I think it was like 15 days. It was something crazy. And everybody else was like 45 or 60. And, like in the episode, he went into like how he got paid so quickly, but basically he was the squeaky wheel was his secret, which like he found out who the adjusters were. He found out who the people at the insurance company were who cut the bills, and like he'd be on them as soon as he submitted it. He'd like, did you get anything? Does everything look good? Is there anything you need from me? And then like he just kind of set the expectation that like, listen, like I want to be the first one that gets paid. And
yeah.
And he treated people well, but like he went at it like as aggressive as you went out to get the sales, he went as aggressively to make sure he got paid.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'll see if I can find the episode. He was a super nice guy.
I need to get that listen for sure.
Yeah, because it was unique, and he's won these awards and stuff, and I have him speak, and like it was all about like he ended up selling the business, and now he's like a business broker or something. He does something else now. But but anyway, he was a good guy. And so but that's like a huge part of the business. And I think like even that, like you learn, like you think things are just the way they are and you just need to accept them. And then you learn, like, you know, that's not the case. Like there's another way you can do it. And then once your mind opens to that, then like you go down that path and it's like, whatever it is, right. It doesn't even matter. So.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. And, as we build out our operations team, definitely consider having somebody that's going to be my collections, my AR collections department.
That was part of it. Like really a strong AR, somebody's really on it. Not like, you know, the people that were really passive, even my friend, I think he was a little too passive with it. Which then, you know, I mean, we do the same thing. If someone sends you a bill and you just like throw it out, like you're like, yeah, they'll send me another bill later and I'll pay it. And so it's the same thing versus the guy who like sends you the bill and then he calls you and then he sends you an email and then it's like, all right, I'll pay you, you know, like, and you owe it. Like, you know, it's not like you're not trying to pay it, but
yeah, there's no late fees. There's no reason for them to pay it until you annoy them. Not annoy them, but
it's like you did a service, you had an agreement, you're going to get paid. Like, you know, it is what it is. Like, so,
that's awesome. That point, my general manager did also say, on some of these larger jobs asking for, you know, 50% or deposits from the insurance company. And, you know, in 100%. His past, he's had some success with that.
They know you got to make payroll to do the jobs and they know like you got equipment and you got everything you got to do. So I think, you know, I think it's always just like not accepting sometimes what people tell you, you know,
is, think outside the box. Yeah. Go try to get some money in to help float the job. And that way, you know, you're not paying interest points on money to take to make payroll.
Yep. So what's your plan for the first year? Like, what does success look like in 12 months from now?
Yeah. So my financial goal for the business is to hit 800,000. That could change a little bit. I could bump that up a little bit, but I don't want to move my goal. Interestingly, that goal was set without me knowing a whole lot about the industry or what was possible.
Okay.
But it was built from a spreadsheet. Like, okay, yeah. This is what my
average job is, number of jobs.
Yeah.
Monthly expenses. Yep.
Yeah. So I just applied that, and I don't believe in changing goals necessarily. So if we end up, you know, doubling that goal, we'll celebrate it. If we, you know, obviously we'll correct if we don't hit that goal, but I think it's attainable. And I'm also being a little bit bold and courageous with some of the build out of the sort of field of dream style. If you build it, they will come. I've been aggressive with purchasing more equipment, more vehicles, aggressively hiring another technician, especially in the Denver market. The rains for, you know, kind of through the second quarter, the big storms come through April, May, June, and you can see it if you look at the leads that come through Angie's or Thumbtack. So I made the decision, well, if you know, 60-70% of the water jobs come in that second quarter, I can either be in a position to capitalize on that in 2024, or I could, slow roll this thing and not really capitalize until 2025 or 2026. So I've been a bit aggressive with what I've invested in to make sure we can try to be in a good position for this year.
Yep. What did you, so you bought more vans, or are you buying more vans?
Yeah, I have a second van and a truck with a trailer on its way. We bought a pickup truck, slightly used, and then getting a trailer. Really trying to, we put our heads together and really felt like this gave us the most flexibility with the minimal resources that we have right now.
Yep. Yep. Good. Yeah. I think you got to prepare to be successful. You know, I mean, that's why you're doing this thing. You're not playing it just as a hobby, you know, and especially if there's that seasonality, if there is a seasonality component, like you'd be able to say yes to everything and hit the ground running and not, you know, I'm thinking the same thing with the painting business. It's like springtime, summertime is generally the busiest season. And so like, you know, we're looking at how do I get the other next two locations launched in like, you know, 4 weeks, six weeks, something in that range. Even though like we're still losing, like we're not making any money yet, but we're starting to lay that foundation, because it's by then, you know, A, I should be, and then B, you know, otherwise we get like a wait a whole year, or like you don't launch until the fall or the winter, it's not going to be as good. So it's kind of like you try to kind of catch that wave a little bit. If you believe there's a seasonality, and most businesses have that seasonality, like the winter normally sucks for, at least in our business, like, you know, in the spring and summer are normally really good, and the fall's like okay. But anyway, so that's awesome. Cool. I'm excited to kind of see your journey as you go along there. I'm excited for Voda, and it sounds like you're off to a great start. If you've got, you know, but if you win that job, you know, you're potentially a good way there in the first month. So,
yeah, no, I appreciate it. And, I'm excited about the journey as well. There are definitely, I haven't had any moments where I've been like, oh goodness, what did I do? But you know, there's definitely those moments where you're like, oh gosh, by buying that second van and truck right now, am I going to be able to, bring enough money in to keep this thing rolling long enough? So there are those nervous moments, but, I do truly believe that if you go out and, just do the right things every single day, that, that the business will come, and that we'll be able to knock it out.
It's awesome. Cool. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. I think, you know, a lot of people listening are in a similar place where you were. They're in a job, you know, they've got this bigger vision and they've got the skill sets, the leadership, the sales skills, you know, they got the financial, you know, ability, and it's just kind of making that jump, right? To believe in yourself and believe in a bigger future and believe that, listen, you've faced a ton of challenges like in your life before, and like this is just one other challenge that you're going to face and you're going to figure it out just like you've done before many other times. So, you know, it's great to have, you know, guys like you, you're inspiration to a lot of people. So, so thank you for that. And, where's the best way if someone wanted to get in touch with you?
Go to, myvota.com/Denver. Our contact information's there, and feel free to reach out if anyone needs anything.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks again for coming on and good luck, on your journey.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the time, Brian. I appreciate it.
That's all we got for this episode with the Business with Beers podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is to rate the show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Also, make sure to link up with me on your preferred social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find all my links at brianbeers.com. Please just share the podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. And until next time, remember to take the actions others won't to live the life that others don't.